Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel. It is the week four player breakdown, the one that we're all waiting for, the grand finale of the week four podcasts. As per the usual, I've slaved, created 10 pages of notes for you guys to enjoy for your listening pleasure as it relates to the week four main slate. Before we do that, I want to just set you guys up with a couple things that you should be aware of going into the weekend. One, patreon.com/lineuplogic, subscribers, $10 for the cheat sheet over there. It gets posted every Friday afternoon, evening, you know, Friday when you get out of work and you stop worrying about the world. And then we got the lineup show that night, Friday night, always fun live stream. We take questions. We take all that good stuff. Every Friday, you know, we go up there, we talk through a cash game core. We talk through our plays. Mike Alexander is going to talk through matchups. Hopefully we'll get Joe Berg in there this week. Josh Fernandez as well. Of course, my sidekick partner in crime, Fern Daddio. And it's going to be a good one. I mean, we always have lots of different opinions and ideas. And the nice thing is that, you know, we go through kind of all angles and ideas of thoughts that we have on the slate. So it's a good way to spend a little time unwinding on a Friday night. And of course you can always access that on the Patreon page afterwards. It's been a little bit rough trying to make sure we get that. So again, patrons, if you, for some reason it doesn't come through, you gotta let me know. We had some issues last week. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen this week. I feel terrible when that happens. The other thing, lineuplogicdfs.com, the content push. I mean, the website just keeps cranking out content. Spectre's been doing MLB stuff. Mike Alexander writes a bunch of columns over there throughout the weekend. Look for those on the regular. Some great quick hitters, things you need to look for. I will write my takes on Vegas. We'll also get Joe Berg's The Chalkboard going into Friday, Saturday. If you want to get those, you know, this information straight to your inbox, you can go over to the website. There's a little sign up for Lineup Logic email over there. Get that going. You can always sign up and get some information straight to your inbox on Saturday. Just one, you know, stupid little email. So you have access to this stuff. You don't forget about it. The other thing is Brian Jester, Occupy Fantasy. He's gonna help us sort through some of this rake information. A lot of people talking about the new rake structure on FanDuel and DraftKings, how it's gone up in certain game types. He's going to give his angle. Occupy Fantasy does a lot of good research and information sharing on rake. So we'll see an article up there soon. So if you're looking to say, what's this all rake everything? Everybody's talking about how the rake structure's changed. We will talk about it there. Don't worry. I don't think it's as aggressively bad as people are making it out to be. It's not that big of a deal, especially for cash game players, which myself, for NFL, that's what I focus on personally. But hey, we got a lot to talk about. One point of strategy before we get into the player breakdown. Sorry, I know this is a long windup for the player breakdown. I'll keep this quick. I think sometimes as DFS players, especially if you play MLB or NBA, you're used to the constant cycle of five or six slates a week, right? And within a five or six slate sample size, you can try, fail, try, succeed, try, fail, try, succeed. Kind of troubleshoot your own process in a given week and, you know, give yourself a lot of opportunities and get yourself a lot of possessions, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, and I think in NFL, sometimes it's harder to do that because we have one main slate. One thing I do recommend is if you want to try to get some more reps in, don't increase how much you're playing, but target smaller slates. Target some of the small slates. You know, don't play the Thursday to Monday slate. That's the opposite of the small slate. That's like one of the most tilting things in the world, to wait from Thursday night all the way to Monday night just to see what happens. What I mean is play the early slate. Play the afternoon only. Play the prime time. you limit how many games you have. And a lot of times you will understand where your biases lie and how your process works. And I sometimes, you know, last year when I found myself in a funk during NFL season, it's what I started to do. I started to say, okay, let's narrow my range of decision making, because you get overwhelmed with the player pool. You get overwhelmed with the player pool in the main slate. Let me narrow my range of decision makings. I will focus on what matters, what I know matters, and hammer smaller slates. And it's a good way to practice. It's just a really good way to practice, you know, instead of playing. And I saw Bill Bobby do this, a friend of the show, you know, split himself into multiple slates. It's a really good way to just kind of test your own process, limit how many players you have to choose from, and make sure that you're making positive decisions with all those players. So it just an idea. So as I know, some people are like, man, you know, gosh, 3 weeks in, it's not been awesome. Last week was tough too. We had a lot of variants. All right. Anyway, let's get into the player breakdown. That's enough chit chat for me. Talking quarterbacks right away, figure out who we love. Who do you love? I will not go through a single slate without mentioning either Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. And Tom Brady is on, it's just not, you can't do it. These are two of the elite, most elite fantasy options that we have. And Tom Brady is the most elite fantasy option. He's priced up a QB1 on both sites, but I have zero issues with him, even as a massive home favorite against Carolina this weekend. It's just foolish if you don't look into him on a week-to-week basis. I realize that we don't like to spend up for him, but in tournaments, he makes great play. And in cash games, if you can find a way to fit in Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers into your lineup on a weekly basis, you get one of the highest floor players with in fantasy sports. It's like if you can fit in Russ, you play Russell Westbrook. If you can fit in Corey Kluber, you play him. It's very similar to Tom Brady in my mind. You know, listen, the Pats, they do want to run the ball. They want to control the game. They really haven't recently, though. I tweeted this out earlier. They are number one in fantasy points earned and number one in fantasy points allowed on the season. Their defense is causing way more fantasy production for Tom Brady than I think any of us expected. We expect the Patriots to get ahead, hold the lead, pound the rock like they did, you know, last year with LeGarrette Blount. And it's just not happening, you know. It's just not happening. So he's been insane. He's averaging 36 attempts, a 64% completion rate, 364 yards per game, nearly three touchdowns per game. I mean, and I just don't see that changing. He's a 9-point favorite at home in Foxborough against Carolina this year, 27 DK points per game, roughly 3x salary value on both sites on a regular basis through these first 3 weeks. 3X is just, that's a massive number. If you got 3X from a $7,100 quarterback this week, who a ton of people are talking about, you know, Tyrod Taylor, Andy Dalton, things like that, you're talking 21 fantasy points. You're very, very pleased with that performance. I don't understand why we're not okay with getting 27 points from, you know, and that's partially why multiplier values don't work perfectly. But I think that the logic is clear, is that they provide a massive floor and a lot of points, and points matter. That's what we're here to get. Carolina defense, they are a top 10 unit, okay, by all measures across the board. DVOA versus the pass versus the rush on the defensive line, their sack rate, that is the strength of this team, no doubt about it, especially that linebacking core, Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, they are elite. And the secondary last week, though, proved that they are not immune to elite quarterbacks. Breeze carved them up on the intermediate route. You know, the intermediate distance is basically nothing too deep, but that's where Brady throws 70% of his routes anyway. So guys like James White, Danny Amendola, even, you know, Gronk, I think, continue to be interesting targets in this offense. But I think at the core of it all, it always goes through Tom Brady. And we saw that, you know, Chris Hogan and Brandon Cooks had only five targets. They don't have massive target shares. They don't have massive target floors. This isn't Keenan Allen or AJ Green or Julio. You know, what they have is the best quarterback in the game. And when they're open, they're going to score touchdowns. And that's kind of how you see it. So a naked Tom Brady is totally fine for me. Nat Ryan is similar boat. I mean, he just keeps producing, and he's a home favorite this week against a Buffalo defense that has been stingy. So you have two elite quarterbacks who are at home, massive favorites by almost, you know, more than a touchdown against somewhat stingy defenses. But I think that that sometimes isn't as cute. People want to get cute with their quarterback. And I think sometimes you gotta remember, good quarterbacks are good quarterbacks for a reason, and they score a lot of fantasy points. Now, I have, you know, Matt Ryan doesn't bother me either as far as an elite quarterback here. So if you want to go that route, I think it's interesting. I think it's a good decision in many cases. Now, if you want to get cute and you want to do the whole thing that we do here, we find the value spots. I got a couple names for you. There's quite a few. You know, I think Trevor Siemian pops, and I think people have been talking about him a lot. 7.5 or 7.5K on FanDuel, 5.2 on DK. I mean, that's massive value on DraftKings. It really is. And, you know, that price discrepancy is something that just immediately hits you in the face. Siemian projected for 25 points at home against the Raiders. Raiders currently 30th in defensive DVOA on the year. They're the exact same unit that they were. They're relatively inefficient, 28th and 17th against the pass and the rush, respectively. 21 points per game to the quarterback. You know, there's talk about, and you hear this, and I think a lot of times this is one of those storylines. It's like, teams that go into Denver early in the season are going to struggle defensively to keep up. We see this time and again. Yeah, real football thing, yes. I think that's a real football thing. It doesn't really have a fantasy thing, and I tried to run it's more of a narrative thing. I think it's hard to gauge. I ran the trend. Siemian has had two big home games early, which is nice, but we also have seen him be much more efficient, okay, this year. And the problem is that you're comparing Trevor Siemian's early season success to Peyton Manning, and like, that just doesn't work. Right. It's not that you can't really create a sizable amount of data that says that, like, this is a perfect situation, because you can't compare other quarterbacks to a replacement level quarterback to a Hall of Famer. It just doesn't work. So I don't know necessarily that that's what I'm buying into, but I am buying into the fact that he is improving his play. He has two elite wide receivers who are target hogs in Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. They've proved successful here. And I am buying into the fact that the Oakland defense gives up points. We continue to see it. They get gashed in very different ways on a week-to-week basis. So not gashed, but they give up production. So I think there's value here. Siemian, he's attempting 33 passes per game, 64%, very nice completion rate. Above average success, Oakland, to all the positions, not running back, tight end, wide receiver. So you got to like it. You know, similarly priced, though, I think people are going to be interested in Tyrod. Tyrod has been good. He's been great. I still worry that in negative game script against Atlanta here that he's going to struggle, and I think last week the Buffalo defense made the most out of some turnovers and created some opportunities for them in that way that, you know, we saw him on the road. I think the other thing is he's on the road. We saw him on the road that Carolina game, and he was really bad. And Atlanta defense is not that good, but he worries me. He doesn't have the high floor. He doesn't have the high floor. What he does have is a rushing upside, and I recognize that. Konami code. Boom, boom, boom. But I think the Konami code guy that I am a little bit more interested in is possibly Dak. You know, Dak at home, he's a home favorite against the Rams. Now, the Rams defense, very solid against the pass right now. Wade Phillips is making that a thing. Like, it's happening. But and all signs point to Zeke. Like, it's there. Guys, it's Zeke week. But I think we do have to remember, I mean, Dak has been the leader of this offense. He continues to be the leader of this offense. And the question of, you know, chicken or an egg, is it an elite running back and elite offensive line that made them successful last year? Well, I think the answer is really no. It's Dak Prescott. Like, he is that good. I believe it. As a home favorite, more 6 or more points in the last 5 games. And we don't have a massive sample size, but we have a 5-game sample here. He's averaged 22 DK points with 80% consistency. That's pretty solid. You know, when they are capable of succeeding with the rush, I think that that enables Dak to take chances with the pass, and we know that he is also capable of the rush TD, as we saw on Monday night. You know, he's top 10 in scoring thus far. He's averaging 20 DK points, 19 FanDuel points per game. And the Rams, you know, they haven't really allowed any scoring from a fantasy points perspective to the QB position. 15 points per game is not a lot, but let's think about who they saw. They saw Scott Tolzien, dumpster fire. Washington ran the ball down their throat for the entire game, and Kirk Cousins only had to throw the ball like 22 times when he had one touchdown. You know, and that could be very similar for what Dak is able to do. But Brian Hoyer threw for 62% completion rate against them, 332 yards and two TDs. That's no joke. I mean, that's Brian Hoyer. Like, you know, he is a replacement level quarterback in this league. And so you have Scott Tolzien, who's well below that. You have Kirk Cousins not needing to throw the ball because they controlled the game against this defense. And you have, you know, Brian Hoyer in that shootout go for 332 and two touchdowns. Dak, I feel like, has a clear floor here. I like him. I don't think people are going to be at on him, but I think that there's a clear floor for him. And then he gives me a little bit more faith as a home favorite against this defense than Tyrod, for example. Like, I'm more willing to trust Dak Prescott than I am Tyrod Taylor. Maybe I'm alone in that. The value guy, interestingly enough, Deshaun Watson, very interesting. Very interesting. A lot of people talking about him. 5,100 on DK, 7,100 on FanDuel. I mean, another guy's great value on DraftKings. Like, this is where people are going to be on DraftKings this week. Uber cheap. You know, here's part of why he works, by the way. 41 rush yards per game. You know, that's a passing touchdown. And like I said Konami code. That's what Rich Rebar, if you read the Rich Rebar article, you know what Konami code is. It is substituting rushing yards for the quarterback position for passing touchdowns. And that is something that Deshaun Watson offers here. You know, listen, Tennessee's defense is not that good. Third in pass attempts to the quarterback with the team DVOA of 23rd, 24 total team DVOA of 23. The 24th to the pass. They're not a great unit. They funnel, they stop the rush, and they allow people to exploit the secondary. They throw everybody in the box, and you just saw Russell Wilson exploit it. We saw Derek Carr exploit it in week one. It's not a surprise that Blake Bortles was not able to to exploit it. Let's be clear about this. This is what I am not on the Deshaun Watson train myself. You are not going to see me roster Deshaun Watson in my cash games. Why? You're chasing a big name, high profile rookie after he had one very good game. There's a lot of reasons to like him, and I hope the kid succeeds. And I loved watching him at Clemson, and he was electric in college. I'm going to need to see more than one game against the team that has allowed the most fantasy points on the year for me to say that Deshaun Watson is viable. It scares the hell out of me. Like, Trevor Siemian or Deshaun Watson, it scares me. It worries me. You know, there's reason to not want to chase here. So I think he could very much look like a rookie, but this pass defense is really bad. They're really bad. But he is not Russell Wilson. He's not yet. Could he be Russell Wilson down the road? Yes, maybe, but he's not Russell Wilson. If that's the comp that you're trying to make, which is complicated for a lot of reasons. The one guy that I think is going to go overlooked at the quarterback position that I really don't have a problem with. At first it was Andy Dalton, but like that game script is going to be pretty run heavy. And I think the defense is going to really control that game for them. They get Vontaze Burfict back, you know, Cleveland, that Cincinnati defense is pretty good. And I think that they will, you know, they tested Aaron Rodgers. They're testing Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what they're going to do to Deshaun Kizer. I think Eli and the Giants is just a train going off of a cliff. Like, Ben, I said this last weekend, McAdoo fired by Halloween. And this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, New York Post is just going to splay McAdoo's face everywhere if they go down to Tampa Bay and they lose. Also, worth noting, I don't like the weather. The weather is goofy down there. This could affect this game. I don't like the weather, but in a vacuum, this is a good matchup here. The Bucks have only created one sack on the year. We saw an amazing performance from them in week one where they created huge turnovers from Mike Glennon. They got to him. They rushed him. They created fumbles, whatever. 1.3% adjusted sack rate. They're allowing 22 fantasy points to the quarterback position. We just saw Case Keenum go bombs away on this team and destroy them. Eli Manning is better than Case Keenum. Let's be very clear about this. Eli Manning greater than Case Keenum. There's more talent there, right? Okay, there's some Case Keenum truthers out there. Minnesota fans are probably like, hey, watch it, Sean. Keenum's good. Fine, he's good. He did a great game. He had one really good game. He's still not Eli Manning. You know, the thing that I will say about this is the Bucs grade 10 spots worse to the wide receiver than Philadelphia. Philadelphia is bad, but the Bucs' pass defense is really pretty bad as well. I think you also like that the Bucs stop the run. Bucs will stuff the run. That's the strength of their defense. They tried. They couldn't really do it against Dalvin Cook, but that's, I think, what they want to do. The Giants don't run it. So are we going to see 40 attempts for Eli in this game? I mean, that's how they have to stay in games. They have to throw the ball. It's a massive pass script. This is the reason that people are like Odell in this situation. You know, they're throwing the percent. They're throwing the game. They're throwing the ball on 73% of downs in one score games. It's the highest rate in the NFL. The only other one that's even close is the Packers, which is why I mentioned I will always talk about Aaron Rodgers if I have the opportunity to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Eli, not great as a road dog. That historical trend does not favor him. That worries me. But he was a road dog last week. We saw him throw the ball 47 times. He peppered all of his guys with targets, double-digit targets for Odell, Sterling Shepard, and Brandon Marshall, 7 targets for Evan Ingram. That's a lot. That's a lot of volume. So there's a lot to go around. There's a lot of mouths to feed here. I think he could really end up throwing the ball 40 times. And he's one of the highest volume passers with some of the best pass catchers in the league. This is why people like this team. You know, this is why. I saved Russell Wilson, who is only on FanDuel. I saved him for last because for whatever, I talked about this yesterday, DK doesn't have the Sunday night game. People are kind of flipping out about it. I don't blame you. It's BS. Doesn't make sense. They're trying to get people to play the primetime slate, and everybody's just going, hey, by the way, nope, not playing the primetime slate. Fuck off. I'm keeping my process the same. I don't think they'll ever do it again. Backlash has been pretty serious. But Russ Wilson is just, he's absolutely top-notch on FanDuel, 7,900. You know, I didn't want to lead with him just because he's only a FanDuel play. I do worry a little bit with the return of Vontae Davis, but I did read something on Pro Football Focus that was like, I think his return might be overstated. Yes, 2014, 2015, he's an elite corner. Yes, he's a good corner. Like, he is not a liability like the rest of this Indianapolis team. But in 2016, when he was banged up, he was actually had a 44.5 Pro Football Focus grade. Not good. I mean, that's replacement level. Like, that's below average, well below average. So I think we're overstating how much Vontae Davis shores up this team. And listen, if Vontae Davis is out on an island guarding Tyler Lockett, then fine. What are you going to do? You're going to feed the ball to Jimmy Graham and Doug Baldwin out of the slot? That's who he wants to throw the ball to anyway. They had 26 of his targets last week out of his 40 pass attempts. So doesn't really worry me. Take Tyler Lockett out of the game. Great. Fine. I don't care. Take Paul Richardson out of the game. Okay, I like Paul Richardson, you know, and I'm struggling to remember which side Lockett and Richardson line up on, and that's why I threw both of them out there. But, like, the volume comes from those interior pass catchers and Baldwin and Graham. Graham, clearly healthy, doing well. Baldwin says he's likely to play. He's going to try to practice this week. It's a minor groin injury. MRI was positive, so he's going to try to suit up. Worries me a little bit that that's the concern that I have. But I think Russ, you know, is solid. And the Colts allowing 20 fantasy points to the position, nearly 300 yards of passing offense, and more than one touchdown. And they faced Jared Goff, Carson Palmer, and DeShone Kizer. Jared Goff had his breakout game here, and he's still Jared Goff. Like, you guys, is he better? Yes, I get it. Three-game sample size. I don't think this guy is going to the playoffs this year, okay? Palmer, skeleton, sent him to retirement home. Kizer, rookie and a half. The rookiest rookie of all rookies right now. He's behind one of the best offensive lines in the league. He has taken the league's highest sacks, amount of sacks. Like, give me a break. Give me a break. You know, he's acting like a rookie. He's really showing it. So what happens when you get Russell Wilson at home as a 13-point favorite? Come on, let's go. That's good stuff. He hasn't been running a ton, but for a lot of yardage, I guess I should say. But he is taking what the defense is giving him, five attempts per game, which actually I like. And I think, okay, against Indianapolis, that five attempts per game may not be 20 yards. It may be 30 yards, right? That, to me, is interesting. So I think we still know the guy is willing to do it, and we can add some points there. You could always steal a rushing touchdown, something like that. Running back. It's Zeke week. I said this already. Zeke week. He's priced up. He's top three on both platforms. He's not running back one. Lev Bell is running back one on both platforms. And I don't mind Lev Bell. Like, let me be very clear about this. Lev Bell on the road, Baltimore defense, coming back from London, you know. Do I think that they're an elite defense? Are they going to sell out to stop? They're gonna sell out to stop Lev Bell, but his road splits tell us that it's not gonna matter. And he has elite snap rate, elite volume, elite opportunity numbers. I just worry about the efficiency. I worry about the efficiency, and I worry that efficiency goes down because he just hasn't been getting a lot of chunk plays, except for in the passing game. He's been fine in the passing game. So that concerns me. But Zeke, you know, he has not been phenomenal. If you look at the numbers, the Denver game really killed him. You know, but he took 95% of the team's carries. He has 70% of the team's rushing yards on the year. Monday night, we saw exactly what the role is in positive game script. They are going to continue to hammer. Roughly one attempt inside the five per game. Fine. Okay. That's good. You want that touchdown. He's 30% touchdown rate on the year in the red zone. One of the league's highest. That's excellent. We know he has a nose for the end zone. We know they're going to give it to him in down there. Because he's capable. We should note that the Dallas offensive line has taken a step back in run blocking effectiveness. They have. They're still a top half unit, but they're not in DVOA. They're not necessarily the unit that we expected them to be. And that makes sense. They had some turnover. They had some turnover on that line. The issue is, you know, listen, he has had a rough go of it as far as schedule goes, right? Giants at home, he was still successful. You know, roughly 100 scrimmage yards and a touchdown. Denver, we saw that total shutdown. Ouch. Arizona, okay, almost 100 yards again and a touchdown. So finally, he gets a plus matchup at home as a home favorite. I think you have to like him. It's easy to project him. They've allowed over 130 rushing yards. We saw Carlos Hyde do it to them last week. I think this has the possibility of being a Zeke two touchdown type affair. So, you know, and if that pushes you off of Dak, fine, so be it. That's fine. I mean, that makes sense to me. I think if you're like, well, I don't want Zeke and Dak, makes sense. I think Zeke and Dak are interesting in tournaments, but that makes sense to me. If you want to pivot, I think Leonard Fournette is very interesting. I'm one of those people that's like, I'm not really a Leonard Fournette guy. Well, I do like him. Like, I like the pedigree here. Like, the guy is an animal, and there's a reason that he should be and is a bell cow back in this league. And he has a massive grip on one thing, red zone and touchdown work, okay? 100% of the team's rushing touchdowns, two-plus opportunities inside the five. It can't be overstated. I mean, if you're on a site like FanDuel, that touchdown means the world to you. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. And Leonard Fournette clearly has a grip on that. Three touchdowns this year, one in each game. you know, 23 total opportunities on average per game. We've seen those opportunities drop. First game, you're like 27. Nice. Oh my gosh. Yes. Then they dropped in week two against Tennessee because they were behind negative game script, remember. And then I think they predictably dropped against Baltimore, who, you know, very good rush defense, but they were also leading that game. They were in a massive, you know, the full fourth quarter. That game was basically over by halftime. So, you know, 19 carries, 4 targets per game is not bad on average. If we see that number jump up to 22 carries and 4 targets per game, that's great. I would love to see 3-4 extra carries just to kind of put him over the edge as far as statistically being in that elite category. Jets defense allowing 28 fantasy points per game, even after that rough outing for Ajayi. But the key here is the difference between the Miami offensive line and the Jacksonville offensive line. Jacksonville's offensive line right now is grading out as a top 5 unit in rush efficiency and pass defense. Like, they are winning in the trenches for sure. Miami's 29th. They allowed 17 pressures for Jay Cutler on Sunday to the Jets. And listen, the Jets are fine. Todd Bowles is a good defensive coach. I get it. Fine. You know, Jets fans, don't take offense. But the team's not good. You know, so I think Jacksonville, with the ability, we know the game script. We know they want to run the ball. And if they are in positive game script, they are going to run. I mean, if they are tied or leading, they have the third highest rushing rate in the league. So it makes sense that Leonard Fournette could see a lot of volume here in this game. One thing you do worry about is they do spread it around. They have no problem letting everyone touch the ball in this backfield. And the reason is because they don't want Fournette to break down. They want to run the ball, but they have healthy other running backs. They know the offensive line is good. You can put anybody fucking back there and get 4 yards. They know that. But Fournette is the elite back. We saw him against Houston get it done. I think you see a game situation more like the one he had in Houston than the one we saw for Tennessee or Baltimore. So I do like Leonard Fournette. He's priced reasonably. I think Dalvin Cook is interesting. I'm just talking about all the rookies. Am I just trend watching? Now, trust me, I'll get to some of the other voices here. There are a lot of guys to like here. Don't worry about it. All right, Dalvin Cook, though, you know, interesting case. 54 of 74 snaps on the season, or excuse me, in the game last week. Not my favorite. 69%, not my favorite, especially when you're looking at a Zeke who's like 87%, Lev Bell, 94%. You know, that's kind of what you want out of your running back. You want that snap rate. It's good. It's not great. I mean, he still gets 24 opportunities per game. He's accounting for 83% of the team's rush yards. He is a bell cow. Like, they're not going to give the ball to Latavius Murray magically in this game. It's not going to happen. They're not going to magically be like, Jerick McKinnon, now's your time, 10 touches. It's not going to happen. They're struggling with his pass protection and his third down role because he has had a couple drops, even though we know he can catch the ball. He's had a couple drops. He's had a couple busted pass coverages. So I think that they are comfortable putting out some of their other healthy options out there on third down. And we saw, you know, we've seen CJ Ham get snaps, which is just the best name in the world for a fullback, but not the best person to have when you want Dalvin Cook on all downs. He's well priced, however, okay? Detroit D-line currently 28th to rush efficiency, 28 running back points total per game, 80 yards per from on 80 yards, 4 yards per carry, 7 receptions, 76 yards. So 170 or 150 total scrimmage yards for running backs. That sounds sexy to me. That I can get into with a young Dalvin Cook. He's at home. We haven't gotten a line on this game. But I do think it will be tight. I mean, no Bradford, divisional matchup. I think they'll be favored by a hair. I think it's going to be like, you know, Minnesota favored by 1.5 or 2. And I think that it's not the worst bet in the world to put money on Detroit to win this game. Because if they can figure out how to stop Thielen and Diggs, you know, then they're one step in the right direction against Keenum, you know. I don't know. Or if they figure out, or the opposite, right? If they figure out how to stop Cook, then they say, okay, Case Keenum beat us. It's interesting. I'll wait to see what Vegas says about it because those guys are smarter than I am. But we haven't seen it yet. It probably will come out this afternoon, this evening when I think Bradford was confirmed not starting. We'll definitely see it by tomorrow at some point. A couple of value guys that you gotta love, three different ones that I got for you here. And then I'm gonna go to two names that probably will get overlooked. Joe Mixon and Christian McCaffrey. I'm aware that I talk about four rookie running backs. I'm gonna talk about a fifth too, Chris Carson. What do you want me to do? Sorry. I'm not sorry. Okay. The rookie running backs are dominating. This is a really interesting running back class. Mixon and McCaffrey, though, really pop. Mixon saw his high snap rate in week three, beating out all the other running backs. Highest rush rate on the team. He accounted for 64% of their rushes. The concern that I have is actually the relative effectiveness of the Browns' rush defense. It's actually a strength. They're sixth in DVOA to the rush. They're only allowing 3 yards per carry, 3.3 yards per carry, 21 fantasy points to the game. Per game. That's solidly below average. They are solidly above average team in limiting rush running back production. I mean, Frank Gore, like 24 carries, only 54 yards last week. We saw Lev Bell be a massive letdown in week one. And, week two, Houston, Lamar Miller, not my favorite. Not week two. We did see week two is the exception. Week two is Baltimore. I'm sorry. I got it flipped. I was thinking about Cincinnati's defense. We saw the Baltimore backs do some decent work here. And I think that that's kind of the one example that you can point to and say, well, Javorius Allen had success. Okay. You're right. And there's an athletic young back who can catch the ball as well. And so that I think has to be the comp for Mixon, not necessarily, I mean, but the Lev Bell thing, but you know, in general, they've been a little bit inefficient on the run. You know, it's just weird. It's very hard to project how good are they against the run. I think he will get the work, though. The one thing that I don't like is Jeremy Hill. I don't like him. 8 carries last week. That's annoying. Why don't you give those to Mixon? Come on. Laser likes him, though. I think that's the clear thing. Listen, McCaffrey is a little bit less risky. Leading receiver on the Panthers. I'm not kidding. He leads in yards. He leads in receptions. He leads in yards after catch. He leads in targets. Cam threw the ball to him 11 times on Sunday when they were trailing against the Saints. You don't think they're going to be trailing against Tom Brady at home? They're going to be trailing against Tom Brady at home. You get 11 targets to Christian McCaffrey. You can't really overlook that. 9 catches. There's a massive PPR floor on DK. There's a lot of value there. That's nice. Negative game script. You know, he outsnapped Jonathan Stewart. And the Pats just allow a ton of production to the running back. 34 fantasy points per game with the second most receiving yards per game to the running back. They're up there with the Saints. They're just as bad. So I think you see a very similar line. And the difference is does he get in the end zone? If he gets in the end zone, man, everybody's going to, you know, jizz in their pants because it's like, oh, my God, McCaffrey gets so many receptions and he's scoring touchdowns now. This guy's unstoppable. I love him. Come on. Let's pump the brakes. Cam can't throw the ball downfield, which is why Rivera is rolling McCaffrey out there on every single play. And he's like, hey, listen, just dump it. Don't challenge yourself here. Christian's going to be out there in the flat and you can hit him. Throw it to him as many times. Like, please don't take a sack or throw an interception to the Saints secondary. You threw 3 last week. It's crazy. Here's a crazy thing, though. Here's the craziest number about the Pats defense. 14 yards per catch. Whoa. So you're looking at that and you're thinking, oh, wow, okay, maybe McCaffrey has one, you know, a possibility of really breaking one. And, I mean, you do a 50-yard touchdown with McCaffrey on top of 9 other receptions. That's sweet. That is sweet. So you got to like about him. The only thing that I will say is look at the team profile for the opponents that the Pats have faced. Saints, Chiefs, Texans. What do they have in common? Elite wide receivers. Right? That's the difference. You actually have to account for DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, and Michael Thomas. Do you have to account for Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin in the same way that you account for those other guys, especially with the way Cam is throwing the ball? I mean, Alex Smith is not exactly Drew Brees, but Drew Brees is Drew Brees. And Deshaun Watson looked like somebody, I don't know who, but he looked good. So very kind of, I always worry about scheming Bill. I always worry about Bill. Two guys that I think are overlooked that I can't not talk about them. And I realize that this player pool is a little bit deep here, but like LeSean McCoy and Devonta Freeman, they're up there. And I think that the people gravitate towards Zeke and then a cheaper guy. And, you know, some of the more trendy names, but these guys are going to score and they're right against each other. They're going to go overlooked to the trendy rookies. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. They could get ownership. They probably will get more ownership than I think. Perhaps I'm overlooking them. 20 touches per game, each of them. 65 and 78 rush yards per game, roughly 30 receiving yards per game, nearly 100 yards per game, 5 yards per touch. Come on. Freeman has seen a touchdown in every single game this year with over two opportunities inside the 10. He's outsnapping Tevin Coleman. It's not a thing. He's outsnapping him. He's getting more opportunities than Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman has a more reduced role than he, it's not as 50-50 as it was last year. Shady, 1.8 opportunities out inside the 10. It's a real thing. These guys, 100 yards and a touchdown, facing off against each other against, you know, and Falcons are home favorites, and Shady McCoy has the Atlanta defense, which has been getting gashed by pass-catching running backs. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're allowing some of the most receiving production to the running back in the NFL, top three in receptions and yards allowed. So Buffalo rush defense on the opposite side, solid. But Freeman averages 16 FanDuel points as a home favorite with 63% consistency. If they get inside the red zone, which they will because this offense is a juggernaut, they will give the ball to Devonta Freeman. There's proof. There's three touchdowns to prove it. So, you know, I have no problem with either of those guys. And I think maybe they go overlooked. I have no problem. Pay for Zeke and pay for one of them. I think you are putting yourself in a very good situation for multiple touchdowns from your running back position. Wide receivers, elite tier, minimum of 8 targets per game, 25% market share. That's where I'm setting the bar. I'm not going below that. Don't go below that. You got to have some elite guys who are just target hogs, wide receiver ones. OBJ, obviously, he's priced as wide receiver 2 on both sites, just behind Antonio Brown. Obviously, Antonio Brown, I'm not that interested in it. Baltimore's pass defense has been absolutely phenomenal. Ben Roethlisberger does not look great, except for... he just doesn't look great. He just doesn't. Well, there'll be spots for Ben, and hopefully people forget and like, oh, something's wrong with him. Well, we'll see. Just wait until he's at home and it's like a primetime game. He'll go for, you know, 4 touchdowns and you'll be like, oh, shit. Yeah, he's good. He's fine. He's old, but anyway. Odell, wide receiver 2, both sites. There's only so many wide receivers who can average almost a whole touchdown per game, like a running back number. Like his touchdown averages per game is like 0.87. I mentioned this yesterday. That's like better than a lot of running backs. That's insane. That's insane. A position that has this much variance, you have to love that. He's getting 10 targets per game, 27% market share. He's the leader in red zone market opportunities. One of the leaders in red zone market share. Over 1 per game as a wide receiver. It seems like not a lot, but it is a lot for wide receivers. Tampa Bay defense are 29th in DVOA to wide receivers. They allow massive production to wide receiver ones. You know, massive success rate. Yes, they had one terrible game and one really good game. The thing that I think is that we have to look at is defensive efficiency is grading what are the success rates of these position players against this team? And wide receiver ones are succeeding here. You know, I think he's a very interesting comp to Stephon Diggs here. 4.4 speed, massive catch rate, excellent hands, good route runners. There's a very similar profile here to these guys. And I think, you know, Odell's more athletic, really. and Diggs had a monster game. So I don't see any reason that OBJ couldn't have an awesome game. I don't love the weather, but Odell, Odell's matchup's fine. He's going to see Vernon Hargraves. He's good. I think the name value is good and the draft caliber is good. He hasn't popped as an elite corner yet. Okay. He hasn't really graded out. Brent Grimes this year hasn't graded out well, but he graded out really well. The one thing that I do like is on the back end, it's Chris Conte. If you've ever watched a Bears game, you know who Chris Conte is, and you know that, well, you know what? If Chris Conte has to guard Odell Beckham in the open field, there's one guy who's probably going to win that matchup. Give you an idea. It is the gentleman with the blonde poof of hair. Odell at this price, I think probably in me profiles a little bit better as a tournament play. I don't like paying this much for wide receivers unless I have an elite value at running back, which, by the way, on FanDuel, elite running back value. Sorry, I forgot to mention this. Chris Carson. If CJ Procise actually sits, like, that's where it's trending. If he sits, you got to look at Chris Carson. I have a lot of Chris Carson shares in season long. It'd be really nice if he turned out to be good, but he's looking relatively inefficient. Hopefully he'll be better in this game. Anyway, Odell's one of the best tourney plays on the board. Okay. The concern that I have is that the Bucks defense is hard to project. When you have them as like defense one and then defense 32 in 2 week sample size, it's really weird. You know, that is like, it's not like Philadelphia where you're like, we've been consistently giving up production to the wide receiver. Saints, consistently giving up production to the wide receiver. This is what we saw last year. It aligns with what we know. That makes more sense. This is weird. This is a weird situation. So it does worry me a little bit. And listen, you have a guy in Julio Jones who at home is a freaking animal on that fast track. He's been getting almost 10 targets per game. Could this be the one spot where Julio just trolls everybody and goes absolutely banana when everybody else is on Odell and the Giants defense, or excuse me, the Giants offense just explodes into a fiery Ben McAdoo fire? I don't know. Two other guys, though. AJ Green. There's a lot of reason to like Joe Mixon. Don't get me wrong. I really like the Bengals rush game in this. I think they control the game with the defense. Vontaze Burfict is back. Their defense has been good. Like I said, their pass rush has been good. Their pass defenders are really good. They get a rookie quarterback who is going to struggle bus. So there's a lot, you know, I was having this conversation on Reddit. If you're on Reddit, I posted it in there. Just not everybody talks. I'll answer questions. I'll talk on Reddit. I talk to people. I'm always worried people think I'm going to be spammy because I'll talk to people. I don't know if anybody has questions. I want to talk to me. But he mentioned this. This is a really interesting point. Dalton in Cleveland has been pretty rough because they hammer the rush. Makes sense. Interesting. The rush D though is improved this year. Like I mentioned that earlier. So Green is the primary target. 33% target share. That's second in the league. 12.4 ADOT. He put up 100 yards and a touchdown with Laser in the first game, and the Cleveland pass defense got absolutely destroyed back-to-back-to-back weeks by wide receiver ones. Okay? Week one, Antonio Brown, 11 catches, 121 yards. Week two, Jeremy Maclin, 60 yards and a touchdown. Jeremy Maclin stuff. Week three, T.Y. Hilton, 125 yards and a touchdown. You mean to tell me, come on, A.J. Green can't go for that? He can't go bust one off like T.Y. Hilton did last week. Yeah, come on. If they're going to win this game, they are going to have to throw the ball. I think that they will, and A.J. Green should have that advantage on every single one of those passing downs to get all the targets. He's just a hog. He's a target hog. So I have no problem with A.J. Green in this situation. The other one that's going to be really, really chalky and really popular is DeAndre Hopkins. As popular, people are talking about Watson, Hopkins, Nuke. He's right there. He's priced right in the dead middle. Pricing zone is a really nice price on both sites. You know, Russ and Baldwin busted out of their slump here. If Watson is who we thought he was, you know, the difference, the difficulty that I have is Watson going to be week one and two Watson when everyone goes, oh, geez, or is he going to be week three Watson? You know, like the New England defense is bad. And I think that we're underestimating how much efficiency they give up. And I worry that chasing a rookie quarterback is a dumb decision. But I think that Nuke's talent, you know, is here. I mean, he's got a 39% target share this month, 34% of the team's passing yards. He's the highest snap rate on the team. His catch rate is improved, but it's still bad because I don't know how good Watson is in, you know, at making sure he hits him. You know, he didn't see the target volume he saw last week, but he did catch the ball more. He's still only a 58% catch rate on the season. Tennessee secondary, however, is brutal. The second most receiving touchdowns per game, the most receiving touchdowns per game to the wide receiver on the year, third most fantasy points on the year. Logan Ryan is good, and they have been very solid against the wide receiver one. They're sixth in just against that position. It's everyone else who burns them. Will Fuller comes back. If for some reason there's a rapport with Will Fuller, you could see that be where all the volume goes. You know, Logan Ryan just takes him out of the game. It's for whatever reason, I'm seeing in some places, in some formations, where Hopkins will get Logan Ryan. I'm seeing other places where he won't. And I'm seeing that they don't allow production to the wide receiver one. But the reality is that they allowed production to, you know, Baldwin in a massive, massive way. And I have to think that they're going to move DeAndre around the formation. They move him around the formation. They move him around in order to get him a decent matchup. If he gets a Dory Jackson, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's who Cooper had in week one. That is kind of part of where I'm at. If you want to pivot, though, there's a ton of guys in the mid-range that are just so intensely wonderful. If you thought you were going to get away with a podcast without me mentioning Keenan Allen, you're wrong. You need to check your own attitude. You get an attitude problem, okay? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to talk about Keenan Allen every single week until his price is above 8K. And then I'm going to talk about how, even though his price is above 8K, I think he's in a good position. He's cheap volume. Remember, listen, this, I set the floor, 7 targets per game, 22% market share. Keenan Allen is 8 targets per game, 26% market share. Actually, 9 targets per game, okay? Listen, he hasn't found the touchdown since week 1, but he gets a Philly defense that still allows massive wide receiver production. They did in 2016. They're doing it again this year. Sterling Shepard torched them 100 yards and a touchdown last week out of the slot. Boom. That's Keenan Allen, 7,200 on FanDuel, similarly priced on DraftKings, I believe. Come on. There's no reason. You get this much floor, you don't have to be scared of a floor. They're at home. They're going to have to throw the ball. They're going to have to, they need to keep up. But the Philadelphia offense is good. I think the Philadelphia offense is going to challenge them. And they ran a lot of snaps last week. They were up in pace. So I could see this. You could see this game, especially if Melvin Gordon is out with that knee, or he's injured, or you have to, I don't know. You could see a lot of really, really good stuff from Keenan Allen and just hammering the targets from Phillip Rivers. Larry Fitzgerald, same thing. Why are we scared of a guy who just on Monday night on national television got 13 targets for 100 yards? Because he's playing San Francisco? Oh yeah, that's a good reason to be scared. Because San Francisco has Kawan Williams, who is a 35.6 PFF cornerback grade and covers 99% of slot routes. Give me a break. This is him. It's got to be him. They can't run the ball. Maybe Andre Ellington will just catch balls and they'll just throw the ball at every single down, but that's what they're going to have to do. Fitz is going to continue to see that 22% market share, 9 targets per game, and solid red zone volume too. 1.4 looks down there. Okay. He's not getting a lot of touchdowns. He's not converting them into touchdowns necessarily, but 1.4 red zone looks per game. Listen, Carson Palmer knows who the best player on the field is on offense right now, and it's him. It's Larry Fitzgerald. So you got to like Larry Fitzgerald, relatively cheap volume there as well. If you want to pay up for your quarterback, pay up for your running back, you can take Larry Fitzgerald and feel safe about the floor. So take Keenan Allen, feel safe about the floor. Two guys who feel safe about the floor, Manny Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, both 6,900 on FanDuel, matching prices. Twinsies, 60 yards plus per game, 8 targets plus per game, 24% market share plus per game. And 11 yards per reception per game. I mean, these guys are twinsies. They are buddies. We need to have more. We need to see like a Sears photo shoot with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders in matching outfits. I want it. I want a bunch of matching outfits. Like their mom is dressing them up for the first day of school like they're twins. Even though they don't look like twins, they're the exact same everything. And as far as fantasy, like, please, can we make this happen? Please, if someone in Denver is listening, write a kindly worded handwritten letter to the Broncos front office for what could be the funniest photograph of all time. The Oakland pass defense they are what we thought they are, right? This is the same bucket that the Saints go into, that Tennessee goes into, that Philadelphia goes into. Will they be any better than they were in 2016? Nope, they're not. Okay, great. 28th in pass DVOA, 22 and 24 respectively to the wide receiver one and wide receiver two. I'm not scared of these guys. We were a little bit pissed off that Terrell Pryor didn't do anything, but I think that there's something to be said for, I saw somebody say this, like, there's still something to be said for the fact Terrell Pryor's route running isn't that crisp, and that Kirk Cousins doesn't really, you know, isn't going to hammer him when he has other targets to get to. So I still love Manny Sanders and DT. Which one, Sean? Sanders? He got more red zone and end zone looks with Simeon this year, maybe? Maybe Sanders? He got 15 targets last week. So I think it's Sanders for me. But that could blow up on me. Demaryius Thomas, 2 touchdowns. Yeah, that could happen. Miles from both. I'm kidding. Sort of. value guys, Tyrell Williams, baby. He's going to get Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills got targeted a shit ton last week. He was responsible for the rebirth of Brandon Marshall. Tyrell Williams is like a 22-year-old, 23-year-old Brandon Marshall. Just as big, faster, not nearly as, you know, not the Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame career, but, okay, Tyrell is good, okay? His target rate has gone down because of Keenan, obviously, 15%. That's not my favorite. He still sees 5 targets a game, and he still has an 80% catch rate. That is sexy. He is not wasting the opportunities that he gets. And we know he's got a decent average depth of target. We know that he can pop. We know that Rivers doesn't mind throwing it to him deep. And listen, Jalen Mills is not good. Jalen Mills they're going to watch the film, and they're going to go, all right, Jalen Mills, that's who we're going to throw the ball at. So I think that, you know, Tyrell Williams is a great tournament play. It scares me in cash. I don't think you can roster five targets per game in cash games. Is that fair? I think that's fair. So one of the things, when I like sort players, 22% target share, 7 targets per game, kind of a nice floor, Rishard Matthews always pops up. We always forget that Rishard Matthews is the wide receiver one in Tennessee. Corey Davis is injured. Hopefully he comes back. But Rishard Matthews always pops up. He is the cheapest guy who gets this volume. He's like 6K, 5K. He's unbelievably cheap. His role has not changed. You know, Houston's pass defense is fine, but it's not as good as their run defense. And they're 24th and 25th to wide receiver one and wide receiver two this year. They're not the same without AJ Bowie. We saw what happened to, you know, Chris Hogan and Brandon Cooks. You know, okay, is Mariota Brady? No, but I think that Rishard Matthews continues to see the volume that we like. We should be able to trust that volume. And listen, is he as easy to project as a Fitz? Not quite. Is he as easy to project as a Keenan Allen? No, but I don't think you can necessarily sleep on the volume that he's getting. Another guy whose volume is there that we shouldn't be sleeping on is Sterling Shepard. Listen, I don't, the pedigree is always there. Pass first offense. If you get on the field and you're productive as a rookie, you got to continue to think that he's going to continue to be productive in his second year. He's got a plus matchup with the Bucs secondary. He's cheap. He's real cheap. Robert McClain, Bucs worst corner, 35.6 PFF grade. Thielen had success last week. I mean, is Adam Thielen that much better than Sterling Shepard? Maybe he is. I don't know. But I will reiterate that Eli Manning is probably better than Case Keenum. And they have to throw the ball because they don't have Dalvin Cook. So, I mean, you see volume. He saw, you know, 7 targets per game on average. I think one thing that is really interesting, he's leading this team in receiving yards. He's leading this team in yards after the catch. And I think that he is the one that benefits from Eli getting the ball out quickly. You know, running right out of the slot, not running deep routes. Eli can trust him. Boom, he's right there. And those quick routes, he's getting good. He's got good hands. The quick release angle that Eli took, you know, which people were talking about, his like release time, he's like, it was literally like 2 seconds. It was like, he got the ball as 1-2, boom, he hit that read. And Shep has been one of the beneficiary of that. And when he didn't do that in the Detroit game, he got mauled, and that's when Shep didn't have a lot of targets. So if they want to go back to that plan that worked for them in the Philadelphia game, I think that this is what they're going to do. 10 targets on Sunday. So that's a real thing. He had 7 targets in week one with no Odell. Fine. 10 targets on Sunday with Odell. Pass heavy script. He's going to see, I think, the same amount of volume that Brandon Marshall does. So I like him. It's a risk. It's more of a tournament play, I think. But it is a nice risk that I like. FanDuel Seattle wide receivers, obviously. Colts at home. If Douglas is healthy, I'm a big Douglas Baldwin guy. He's leading the team in targets right now. He saw 15 targets last week. I'm going to say that number again. 15 targets last week. I don't really like chasing the points. Obviously, sometimes I think one of the well-documented things is that Baldwin is like, boop, 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 boop. That sound effect was the up and down sound effect. Not sure if you knew that. He could also get fewer snaps with the groin. Like if he irritates the groin, or Pete Carroll's like, hey, buddy, 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 just rest, just rest. You know, in his nice, like, I'm such a nice guy, Pete Carroll way, even though I'm like a bloodthirsty NFL coach. Paul Richardson is interesting too. I mean, he's cheap. The problem with Paul Richardson is he doesn't catch the ball. 19 targets, 8 catches. Come on, Paul Richardson. What's the deal with that? Everybody wants to like you, but you're just not catching the football. Like you're allergic to it. What do you get? You know, I don't know what his deal is. But he does have 4 red zone targets and 2 touchdowns this year. So Russ likes him in the red zone. I mean, 2 of those 8 catches are touchdowns. That's pretty sweet. You know, so there's merit to Paul Richardson. The real pass catcher that you want in Seattle, though, I think this week is Jimmy Graham. I mean, he threw 3 end zone targets last week. That's nuts. He saw like 12 total targets. He's healthy. He's good. Russ has a rapport with him. It's a thing. It's fine. It's Jimmy Graham. He's a gigantic human being. So I love Jimmy Graham as a cheap touchdown. Not a cheap, but he, you know, a touchdown option at tight end. I think that that's I don't usually like paying up to that price tier. Like either like Gronk or 5K. That's usually my thing with tight end. Gronk, Kelsey too. But Gronk, Kelsey. The other guy that you have to like at the top of the tight end pool, we're talking about tight ends now, by the way. Ertz. We have to talk about Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz every single week. I'm sorry, but it's a thing. The Chargers shut down Kelsey, but they're still pretty terrible against the tight end. They're 30th in defensive efficiency to the position. They've let up a ton of production this year. So, will they be able to shut down Ertz? I don't know, but like he leads the leads in targets. He's like top 10 in just targets, period. And he's leads the league in tight end targets. So yeah, I mean, why not? That volume is elite for the tight end position. But if you don't want to do that because you don't like paying up for a highly volatile position that has a massive hole in its floor, which is wise, Chuck Clay, man. Chuck Clay just keeps getting production. 21% target share, more than 1 red zone target per game, 2 touchdowns on the year. Atlanta gives up production to the tight end. We know above average production to the tight end. Chucky Clay, baby. I'm a believer. And listen, if they get in the red zone, he's going to have opportunities for success. If him and McCoy can succeed, then this game is going to be real, real fantasy goodness. But if Clay and McCoy struggle, then you're going to have, and Tyrod, if they struggle, this is not going to be good. But if they can succeed, I think this is a really interesting fantasy option. Defense, Seattle on FanDuel. Yep. Okay, that's easy. Cincinnati and all other formats. I really like Cincinnati this week. They were the reason that they almost beat the Packers. And listen, that Jordy Nelson overtime touchdown, the one in the corner, was filthy. Unbelievable, right? Like just filth to the max. But they almost had it. And They are a nasty, nasty defense. Vontaze Burfict is back. DeShone Kizer takes too many sacks. It's all there. Drake Kirkpatrick and Pac-Man Jones are not to be messed with. So I'm in to Cincinnati. And I don't think they're very reasonably priced. I don't really think you have to get cute. Don't look too far for defenses beyond that. Kicker. Ryan Succop continues to just score a ton of points every week. He's on the road in Houston. I think the Houston defense is, you know, capable of bend, don't break. So I have no problem with Ryan Succop. Phil Dawson, too. I mean, your home favorite against San Francisco. He's consistent. I have no problem with him as a min-price kicker either. I think those are my guys. Those are my two guys because I'm not really going to spend any. I'm not going to spend much more than that. I mean, if you want to pay for Matt Bryant, fine. Pay for Matt Bryant. But you might get the same amount of points out of Phil Dawson. So that's what I'll say about that. And Matt Prater. I love Matt Prater. Matt Prater is the man. But we still haven't seen. Yeah, we still haven't seen a line in this game, which is just obnoxious. Where are you, Vegas? Where are you, Vegas? Why can't I find you? Guys, if you don't know what movie that I'm seeing, then we grew up in different eras. Jim Carrey's The Grinch. Top five holiday movie for kids from the 90s. Top five. It's like firmly below A Christmas Story, firmly below. Charlie Brown, yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. It's my wife's like favorite tearjerker, but like, come on. And the animated Grinch is good, but like, can we bucket them? Can we just put them together? I think that's fine. The Jim Carrey Grinch is good. If you don't like it, you don't have a heart. Anyway, enough Christmas movie takes. Guys, patreon.com/lineuplogic for the cheat sheet, the lineup show, lineuplogic DFS for all of the articles that just like explode Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because these guys are great. Subscribe, rate, review the podcast. I'll talk to you guys later.